With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with your gardening quandaries. My guest this week is Wayne Grills, the Chief Executive of BALI, the British Association of Landscape Industries. I'm looking forward to finding out about greening cities, vertical gardening, and of course, all that Wayne's members provide for gardeners and those in charge of open spaces. We had our first, what I would call, really sharp frost with ice on the car windscreen when I got up in the morning, last Monday morning. But really surprising, really, not enough to knock out all of the tender summer bedding. You know, begonias, which are pretty frost tender, are still looking remarkably good. I was relieved, really, that the frost didn't do any damage, because earlier this week I had a really nice picking of lovely young runner beans. Oh, I do like runner beans. And they've been perfectly clean with nothing attacking them. I wish I could say the same for the pyracantha. There's an absolute pack of pigeons just stripping the berries off. I'd much rather see the songbirds eating those well into December rather than these great big pigeons causing such a mess and stripping the lot off. And mice too, with all the wet weather, they've really come into the polytunnel and the sheds. They're quite a pest. I noticed I've got some pots of scabious and lupins growing quite nicely in the polytunnel. And I'm sure it is mice. They've just nibbled the leaves off and taken them, presumably to build a nest somewhere. They're not eating them. They're just nibbling them off. Boy, that is frustrating. So what's new? Well, do we have the good news or the bad news? I was interested to read that Dobby's Garden Centres are joining the Royal Horticulture Society shops in dropping glyphosate. I mean, people using this pretty efficient systemic weed killer to control deep-rooted persistent weeds like Japanese knotweed might need to make sure that they have enough for the immediate future use. On the good news front, I've just had a press release about sun patients. Now, that's a kind of busy lizzie that has enormous vigour, very strong root growth, and makes quite a big plant. Now, this summer, or perhaps I should say last summer, there were four really big plantings in the city of Westminster. Big displays in Whitehall Gardens. That's right beside the Houses of Parliament. In fact, if I can name drop a bit, if you're invited to the Farmers Club next door to the Liberal Club, you look down on Whitehall Gardens as you look across to the Thames. So they had really big sweeps of sun patians there, and also a Marble Arch, Leicester Square and Soho Square. I mean, each of those locations provided a different sort of environmental challenge. You can imagine, with all the traffic going around Marble Arch, be pretty demanding for soft, quick-growing plants. But sun patians, we've been encouraging people to grow them for, I think, at least 7 years. Got three awards for three of the cultivars from the Royal Horticultural Society. and they are fantastic plants. If you get them in good time, late May, early June, they really go down with their roots, so they'll withstand drought pretty well, soon cover the ground to smother out weeds, and are really fantastic plants. They were bred by Cicada in Japan. I hope to introduce a new variety at the Chelsea Flower Show next May, just to add another colour and another plant form. Actually, Steve Mills, the contract manager at Continental Landscape, says that sun patians performed extremely well in the hot, dry summer. The plants were quick to establish, and within no time it joined together to form an uninterrupted mass of colour. An added advantage of the spreading habit that it soon smothered any weed that tried to grow, reducing the cost of weeding the flower beds during the summer. I have to mention too that there were enormous beds of them planted at the Beijing Olympics, and there they found that the transpiration from the leaves were such that it dropped the temperature by 3 degrees. So there you are, fantastic colour, low maintenance, and actually drop temperature and clean the very air we breathe. What more could you wish for in a new bedding plant? Now, what about the week's advice? Well, if you've got anything growing under cover, seedlings, cuttings and plants under glass or polythene, do have a regular look at them to check there are no pests. I mean, greenfly can really multiply at this time of the year if you don't give a quick look to plants. And even more important, perhaps, remove any dead and yellowing leaves if they're left in place when we have really damp, humid conditions in unheated greenhouses and polytunnels. Then that can be the perfect place for botrytis and other soft rots. So get those dead and yellowing leaves cleared off. And on bright days, then get the windows and doors open so that there's a good blow of fresh air through to dry off the foliage. Working away at Hyde Hall, there's a steady stream of people coming to admire all the flowers, but they have questions. Last weekend I was asked, can I move a 4 foot high cut-leaved maple, you know, the Japanese maple? Well, that's quite a big plant. Yes, you could move it at this time of the year, but you would need to dig round it and lift it with a really big ball of soil around the roots. That's a 2 or 3 people job with a plant that's 4 feet high. You know, you dig round, I would think about 15 or so inches out from the trunk. You'll have to cut through some roots, obviously. And then you want a really strong old curtain or some kind of fabric that you roll up and then lever the plant to one side and unwrap the roll under the root and then tip it the other way so that you can unroll it all the way round. And then getting hold of the corners, you can lift that root ball. But be careful, it can be heavy and it will want several of you. And of course, transplant it immediately. And once you have done, stake it really securely, because in the warm soil, new roots will be made at this time of the year. And if we get a strong bit of wind and rock it about, that new root can be broken. So secure staking and fingers crossed, everything should be fine. My thought for the day? Well, surely reuse and repair are better for the environment than recycle, which inevitably takes more fossil fuel carting things about and actually recycling them. Am I alone in washing polythene bags to use again when deep freezing fruits and vegetables? Come on, reuse and repair. I was interested that Honda mowers have replacement spares for every part of their mower. Quite a long time ago, I was involved in the bringing together of two industries, really, the independent garden centre operators and also those working in the landscape field. the landscape work ended up with the formation of the British Association of Landscape Industries. And today I've got their chief executive, Wayne Grills, on the line. Now, Wayne, things have changed, I think, dramatically and unbelievably since my very early days working with some of your members. How big and strong an organisation are you now? And can you sort of outline a bit of what's happened over the years?
Absolutely. Things have changed, as most industries do. The size of the industry as it stands at the moment, I mean, horticulture-wide, general horticulture across the industry is now a £24.2 billion industry, of which landscaping is about £11.6 billion of that, producing around £5.6 billion worth of tax revenue to government and employing around 568,000 people. So it's a huge
500
industry.
568,000.
That's
a lot of staff, isn't it?
It is. So, I mean, obviously, from British Association of Landscape Industries perspective, we, as a trade association, as you're aware yourself, but we've been running now since 1972. So a long-established trade association, looking at the reliability from a client's perspective of the members that we vet and register through our membership. So we've almost about 920 members, I think, today that are registered and fully vetted. We have an additional 900 members, which includes a fairly large student base as well. So encouraging the students that are coming into our industry to think about the possibilities and the benefits of joining an association. And I think as far as our members are concerned, as a 900 and plus number, they're turning over around £7.4 billion and employing just over 100,000 people. So that kind of gives you an idea of the size of membership within Barley these days.
If, you know, I as an ordinary member of the public want my garden designed and landscaped, then I should be looking for the Barley trademark, should I?
Absolutely that, yeah. So so we work on a what we call a Barley registered logo. So any of our members that are registered will be listed on our website. So that's always the first and best place to check. That's barley.org.uk. So anybody that's on there is a current registered and fully vetted member, so that you can use those with, you know, the thoughts in mind really from our client's perspective is that you're buying into expertise. You have the quality aspect and ultimately the peace of mind as a client using a Barley member. But yes, absolutely. It's the Barley registered logo that we encourage our members to utilise and ask people to look out for.
And the other thing that we need to watch is insurance, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's cowboy operators going up and down streets all over the place, and a number of them have no qualifications and no insurance.
There are some good people out there that are not necessarily members of Barley, but it's unfortunate that we do have people that would just buy themselves a van, a bit of gardening equipment, etc., and just go off and do the work. Part of the quality and the peace of mind aspect, if you like, that customers would get with a Barley member is ultimately they're buying into the fact that we have fully vetted them throughout that process. So we would be checking references from trade references and customer references. We would be looking at health and safety policies. We'd be looking at insurances, all of those things in the systems that they need as a business to run and operate. They have to have been trading for a minimum of 2 years. But also, and probably more importantly, is that we actually physically go out and check the quality of their workmanship. And then we do that periodically once they've achieve their Barley membership. We do that every 3 years or so as well.
Goodness, you actually go out and check work that they've done as a continuing process.
Absolutely. It's absolutely crucial that we go out and check that quality of workmanship as it happens on the ground. You know, it's all well and good going looking at a finished garden or a finished landscape scheme, but actually what you can't see in that process is working practices, for example. So you don't know whether health and safety is being followed and all of that kind of thing unless you're going out and checking on that. And that's what we do. We send vetting officers out and check the quality of workmanship.
Could you give me some idea of the scope of operation? I mean, I mentioned domestic gardens, but your members will work presumably in public spaces, around new builds, on sports grounds and all of that kind of thing.
They do, absolutely. So we are, 74% of Barley members do offer a domestic service, so domestic gardens. And they can range from anything from £5,000 up to millions, actually, even for a domestic garden. We've had those and seen those in the past, and certainly entered into our award ceremony that happens at the end of the year. I think the important thing for us is that the same quality applies throughout. So it's about the same quality is applied in terms of the workmanship in a £5,000 garden as it does on a £10 million garden or landscape scheme. And yes, our members certainly work on public schemes, for example, in the public domain. A great example of that, of course, would have been the Olympic Park back in 2012, when that was used for the Olympics on the run-up to 2012 and that opening ceremony. Our members were working on and around the Olympic Park for a number of years, actually, in order to get that to be the pinnacle, if you like, of landscaping within the UK.
Well, it was certainly that.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wayne, one rather simple question. How does the homeowner decide whether they want a gardener or a landscaper?
Well, a lot of the terms used by different people mean, in some cases, very similar things. So, people refer to landscapers and gardeners. Sometimes they do mean the same thing. Very often, though, what we will tend to find is that professional gardeners are people that will maintain schemes and ensure that they're enhanced as they move forward, as opposed to constructing a garden. And that's probably the way I would perhaps put some kind of determination on, do I need a landscape contractor or do I need a gardener? Gardeners will enhance, they will still plant and move things around within the garden, but the actual construction would generally be done by a landscape contractor in the first place. And that might mean, some heavy soils moving and that sort of thing, different levels within a garden, all of those kind of things, and possibly even hard landscaping as well. So whether it's patios, decking, steps, all of those kind of things generally would be done by a landscape contractor. So I think it depends on what people's needs are as to what they might need. But, I would always say if somebody wants that advice, it's always better to come to somebody like the British Association of Landscape Industries to get that advice. And we're happy to give that advice out.
From my point of view, you work landscapers at something of a disadvantage because all the building work has to be done first. And if that overruns, the poor old landscaper has his work period shortened and shortened, as far as I can see, standing on the outside.
It does, and you might run the risk of getting me on my soapbox at this moment in time. But
oh, really? Go on, have a go. Get on your soapbox.
I think one of the things that I continually talk about, whether it be in industry meetings or meetings with clients or specifiers of landscape schemes, is that we should be looking at really building in from day one, you know, the landscape contractors in terms of their ability, their skills and their advice that comes along with that. So I think, you know, even large public schemes, for me, it's about forward procurement and forward contracting and then making sure that there is sufficient funds in that pot for the landscaping schemes and also probably more so for the maintenance thereafter as well.
Oh, the maintaining, I mean, you'll get me on my soapbox now because, you know, you'll see a new supermarket or residential home or something open. The landscapers have gone in the last minute and absolutely stuffed it full of plants just to get the ground cover. And then 2 or 3 years later, it's all overgrown and one hell of a mess because not enough money was spent at the outset and money put to one side to maintain it properly.
Absolutely that. Yeah, absolutely that. And we see the same thing happening at the moment within local authorities with regards to parks and gardens. You know, parks and gardens are suffering on the back of that. There is a lack of people within the industry with those skill sets on the back of that. Barley has launched a Go Landscape initiative, which is looking at trying to encourage people into the industry as a credible career option and suitable career pathways. I think that skill certainly has been diminishing over the years. As I say, parks and gardens is just one aspect of that, where the funding through the local authorities is just not available anymore.
Now, you mentioned your awards. They must help putting a focus on the best work, so to speak. Can you give us some idea of the categories that you have for your Barley Awards?
So we have a range of categories. I think there's probably about 29 categories in total. So that sounds a lot, but we split them basically into domestic and public schemes and commercial. So we would have different bandings. So we would have domestic gardens up to 30,000, for example, and then it goes beyond 30,000 to 60,000, 60,000 to 150,000, and so on and so forth. And then we do the same on the commercial schemes as well. So it'll be, you know, perhaps under 500,000, over 500,000, where you've got the commercial landscape schemes being installed as well. And then, of course, that runs through. So it will be external landscaping, internal landscaping, in terms of interiors, and then we have an international category, which is also very popular. And then what we do is, the way we run that is that Barley members would be submitting their schemes earlier in the year. Again, we physically go out and have a look at these schemes. So we have a panel of judges that would go out and look at those over the sort of 5-6 weeks of summer, check the schemes, check the quality, check that the clients are happy with the job that's been done, and then recommend them at the adjudication process, which takes about 3 days at the end of August. We announced what we call the Barley Award winners, so those that are producing and demonstrating excellence in landscaping in September. And then our award ceremony in December is literally about looking at the best of those schemes in each category. So we award what we call a principal winner in each of the categories. And then at the end of the ceremony, everything sort of culminates into choosing a grand award winner. And again, for the last 3 years, we have had 1,000 people now. So we've been at sellout capacity at the Grosvenor House Hotel on Park Lane in London for the last 3 years, which shows that it's got some great support in the industry. 1,000 members and their customers, clients and staff come and celebrate. It's a great achievement to win a Barley Award, and it's the one thing that people in our industry really search for. And what we try and encourage to do is to get more of our existing members submitting awards into the award ceremony, purely and simply because sometimes some people think their schemes are not good enough, but actually they are. So we've had an increased number this year. I think we had 17 new entrants into the awards this year, which is always good to see. And the most entries since 2009. So for the last 10 years, we've seen more entries this year than previous years. So it's great. It's just going from strength to strength.
For those people who are interested, how do they find out who's won your awards? I think we'd all be interested to know who won the grand award.
So the main Barley website is barley.org.uk. But we also have a second landing page for the awards, and that's barleyawards.co.uk. But they can be both accessed from each other. There's links between the two. So as long as you head towards barley.org.uk, you can find pretty much anything that you need on there, including the winners of the awards, which will all be listed once we've made the announcements.
We spoke about changes at the beginning of this interview. What's happening with roof gardens and vertical gardening?
Oh, it's just absolutely taking off at the moment. I mean, roof gardens and vertical gardening, or living walls, as people refer to them sometimes, have been around for a number of years. But I think the systems that support those have been developed, in particular on the living walls, the systems that now support them in terms of irrigation and the mechanism that the plants are put into has been developed in such a good way that they're now lasting much longer. Of course, they still need maintenance like any garden. So the vertical walls can pose a bit of an issue in that respect, depending on how high the buildings are and how high the wall is, so to speak, the living wall. Roof gardens and podium gardens, again, are very, very common. You'll see an awful lot now. If you took an aerial shot of London, for example, you'll see a huge amount of roof gardens now across the site of London, in terms of people making sure that they're maximising the green space that they've got available. And of course, the industry offers great health benefits and well-being benefits on the back of green spaces and green infrastructure.
Well, I can tell you, Wayne, that here at the News Building, just opposite the Shard at London Bridge, staff restaurant is on the 14th floor. And as I look across the river, I can see quite a number of tree-filled roof gardens. I'd love to know how I could get up into some of them. You know, I think I need a drone to just lift me up and take me across the river.
Yeah, and technology like drones are being used more and more now, of course, in terms of landscaping and the schemes, etc. But there are some lovely schemes on those rooftops, which generally can't be seen apart from, particularly where they're private access, other than the people that have access to them, which is a great shame in some ways. But obviously the benefits that produces environmentally and sustainably make a great contribution to the climate.
Wayne, most interesting, all you have to say, and I wait with bated breath to hear who your grand award winner is and who the other award winners are.
Peter, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
My thanks to Hayloft, sponsors of this podcast, and also my producer this week, Rich Jarman. I look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.